do that. Let me turn this on. There we go. That's better. What I want to do, Chad, if you'll come back up here, I want you to pray for President Trump, his family, cabinet, those that surround him. John, are you able with your wife to come and join? John just had a procedure done to his eye and is recovering fantastically. And I think that's that is awesome. Yeah. Healing in that eye, you betcha. Would you come join your hubby? And I want you guys to pray for our governor. And I want to pick on one more person just to pray for America in general. Sally Bates, would you help me with that, please? Is she out? Did she leave? Yeah. Sally, I want you to just pray for our country. If my people who are called by my name. Can we stand together this morning? You know, as we move into the November elections, things are ramping up. And, you know, it's easy to be a critic. And I haven't heard any criticism. I've heard people very encouraging words. So this is not a reaction to anything, I promise. I've heard nothing but encouraging words. But I do want you to know, I need your prayers. Those of us who represent there, we need your prayer. And we need it more than we need any kind of criticism. Listen, trying to balance this, make people aware, cause people to be awake, to stir in you our responsibility as Bible-believing Americans and patriots to stand and in the best way we can be a part of defending true freedom given by God that is quickly eroding, and then to also preach the gospel. And I'll tell you this right now. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. How many can quote it with me? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm here to tell you, there is no power greater than that one. And if the church would wake up and take ownership of that power, T.L. Osborne years ago, I remember when we were at Rhema, said people would come up to him and here's this great miracle evangelist all over the world, since gone on to be with Jesus, but outdoor crusades. We used to run 16-millimeter films of his all over Central America, run 16-millimeter films, and the group that we worked with anyway. And many a times I've been out with my dad and others, and just because you didn't need permits in Guatemala, Honduras, wherever you were at, just throw up on a blank wall in a village and just start showing T.L. Osborne films and watch right there as miracles were done and demon-possessed people were set free. And it was a real tool to invite people out to a future crusade that we were doing. And this great man of God who experienced this, he said people would come to him and they would say, Brother T.L., I want you to pray that I'll have more power. And he would tell them, he said, I can't do that. But what I can do is pray that you have a greater revelation of the gospel. For the power of the gospel is already in you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. You just need a greater revelation of His love for us, the gospel, as Brother Womack says, the almost too good to be true news. How many are glad for Jesus today? I tell you right now at the beginning of this service, man, no matter what we do, how we prepare, how we vote, no matter how much you prepare over the next, your Mormon pantry, whatever it is you're gearing up for, and all those things are good, all right? But if you don't have Jesus, you're building on sand. Your world will crumble. It will fade like a wet paper sack. How many are glad for Jesus today? Don't leave this building today. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. If you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, that's where life begins. That's where it all starts. Paul put it this way, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is Lord, and this, that He was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Peter, man, he just cut to the chase. Paul was given a formula describing what takes place, the miracle of the new birth. But Peter just cut to the chase. He said, on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is that of which the prophet Joel has spoken. And then in that message, he says, in that day, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It can be as uncomplicated as, help! He hears the cry of those whose heart is for Him. So don't leave today without knowing Him, without taking that time. I'd love to be able to lead you in that prayer. You don't have to shake my hand, sign a card, or even attend church regular to be born again. I think it's a good idea. Do you live in victory? But it's not required. And all of those things. So anyway, Jesus is the main thing. How many of you are glad for Jesus today? All right. But as we move forward in all of this, pray for us. Because I have a responsibility, I believe, to make sure every week, stick a burr in your side. Keep you and me together awake. They are trying, and somebody said, who is they? It's a big thing. They are doing their best. Psychological warfare. I say that with full authority. I'm not being cute. Psychological warfare is in full bore right now, going on everybody, to weigh us down, to pressure, to discourage. How many felt it extra heavy this week? And as we move forward, you got to realize, though, you got a bubble you can climb into, and we're going to read it together, called Psalms 91. It is the prophetic picture of what it's like to be in Christ and what it means. Say with me one more time, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How many are glad for that? Three of you in this Methodist church. Come on. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you and we honor you and we thank you that you are our victory. We thank you that you are our rock. We thank you that you are a mighty tower. We thank you that you are our shield, our buckler. We thank you today that you are our strength. Hallelujah. I love Psalms 18, verse 3, that says, I will call upon the Lord. How many can quote it with me? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. How many praisers we got in the house today? You know what an eyebrow prayer is? Eyebrow prayer. I knew a guy years ago, he said, you know, it's them people, they're a little ashamed. They're sitting in a restaurant, and it's time to pray for the meal. So they kind of kneel and they go... Now you know what an eyebrow prayer is. So tell you, I'm not an eyebrow prayer. Come on, get your hands in the air. I love being in a restaurant just going, here's how I pray for a meal in a restaurant. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Come on, all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are strength. You are a provider. Everything that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now in the spirit of faith, as we remain standing, you say, I'm tired. Come on, have some gumption. This is good for you. Praise the Lord. Pray for... Go ahead. No, you got the mic. Go ahead and pray for America. Please do. And let's join together. Would you extend your hands? Work this group up here as we pray for our great country. Hallelujah. Right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Sally.
Hallelujah. Father, we take our place at the right hand of the Father with yes. Jesus this morning.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
We speak to our country. We speak to America. Because the church has cried out to you. The church has come to you on our knees. And now we expect that you will move and heal our land.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
We expect that you will move and heal our land.
Yes.
And Father, we loose the rule of your kingdom in this place.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, yes,
the
yes.
The rule of your kingdom, Father, that it is loosed in America, it is loosed in the hearts of those who are lost, it is loosed into that place of darkness that has risen up in our country. We break its hold in Jesus' name and we speak, the rule of your kingdom rise up, come forth in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, that yes. you are, not will, are healing this land. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that for President Trump, it's amazing, a man that many on the left don't hate. Even many people on the right don't care for. But isn't like our God to take the weak things, to take things that confound the wise, to do a mighty work. So, Father, we lift up our president in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your hand is upon him.
Yes.
We thank you that you have put him in an office for such a time as this. Father, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have surrounded him, Father, with protection in Jesus' name, your angels of protection, Father, against harm to him, Father God, in Jesus' name. He shall not die, he shall live, Father God. So we thank you, we declare that, Father, your protection upon him. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given him, Father God, for the things that you are revealing to him for the purpose, for your purpose, Lord, on this earth. Father, for your purpose, which is carried out through the church. Lord, we thank you for his strength, Father, to protect the liberties of people in this country in Jesus' name, Father. So we thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against him will prosper in Jesus' name, Father. No weapon formed against him shall prosper in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you as you continue to befuddle, Father God, those who, as those things come against him, that he continues to walk through them. Continue to give him supernatural strength, Father God. Continue to bless those around him in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for that in the next couple months, Father God. We thank you for opening eyes and ears, Father God, to the truth, Father God, of the gospel. And Father, we are able to preach the truth of the gospel in this nation still because of liberty. Father, so we thank you for our liberties. Father, we thank you for raising up a president, Father God, who believes in the liberties of America still. Father God, the Constitution. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. How many were watching live when he was giving a press conference at the White House? And all of a sudden it interrupted and the cameras went to the ceiling. And nobody knew what was going on for a while. I don't know about you, but my heart froze.
For they've tried many times and I thought, my God, what's happened? Caleb called me. He says, I don't know what's going on. Are you aware? I said, yes, we're watching. And it brought home how real and how quickly. People, watch and pray. Cover him. Just like you heard Chad do every day. Cover him. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Cover him with prayer. Absolutely. Thank you, Chad.
And I just want to say, Lord, we thank you for exposing things, those things that are alive. Yeah. Exposing those things for what they are. Amen.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Chad.
You go.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for Governor Ducey. We ask for wisdom, Lord God, to cover over him, that you would give him abilities and talents, and that you would speak to him.
Yes.
And Father, we come against darkness. We lay an axe to the root of darkness and evil. Anything around him, Lord God, that's not of you, that's not of your plan, we push back in Jesus' name. We push back in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father God, we loose to him wisdom. In Jesus' name. We thank you not only for him, but for those in and around him, Father, that they would give him a godly advice that your will would be done on earth. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, precious Abba Father, precious Holy Spirit.
Yes,
we thank you.
Yes,
you
yes,
praise
yes.
you. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We imitate you, Father. We are crazy, crazy, crazy about you, Father God. We pray for our pastor, Father God. We pray for Pastor Lee and all of his family. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, Father God. Isaiah 54:17. We add him to our prayers every day, just like we pray for the president. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we pray for the other pastors that they would open their doors to the churches and never, ever close them again, Father God, that they would stand up, that they would stand up. God is doing a new thing, and it's time for our pastors to stand up, Father God. We pray for them, Father God. Hallelujah. We pray from our seat in heaven. Father, that's where Jesus is. His word says that we are placed there with him. We pray as if we're praying from heaven down to earth, Father God. We know that we already have the victory, Father God, but you have things for us to do, Father God. We are your army. We are your army. We are no longer asleep, Father God. We are preparing. We are preparing for these end times. It's a different time. We have never been here before. And we need your leadership, and we have it. We have your guidance, Father God. We just thank you and praise you that we already have the victory, that you are not through with this nation, this great nation founded under your name. This nation shall have victory for your name's sake, Father God. We thank you and praise you, Father God, that we live in this great nation, Father God. We know that this is not our home, but it is right now. This is our temporary home. You have work for us to do, and we are ready. We are not asleep. Father God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that Roe versus Wade will be overturned, Father God. And that decision gave the enemy a foothold in this nation, Father God. And when it's overturned, that foothold will be closed. It will be closed, Father God. And a weight will be lifted off of our shoulders, Father God. We are so excited. We thank you. We praise you, Father. It may be a difficult time until the end of the year, Father God, but we will not lose faith. We will not lose faith, Father God. We have the victory. We have the victory. We thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen, amen, amen. Woo!
Isn't that, I just wanted to mention, telling Pastor Lee, you guys know that regardless of what you think of John MacArthur's ministry in Los Angeles, right, the Ninth Circuit, which is normally really liberal, it would if President Trump hadn't appointed many judges in his ministry to bring some balance to the Ninth Circuit, but they gave the verdict that churches in L.A. can meet, that they can't close them down. You guys heard that, right? That's a big, that's going to have an impact across the whole nation, churches not being forced to close down. So that was a major victory in the Ninth Circuit.
That's the best you can do? We're praying and praying, and that's the best you can do? Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. If you can remain standing, take your Bibles. Psalms 91, no matter what else is going on. Are you here today? We're going to see a supernatural description of what it looks like to be in Jesus. Are you here today? Psalms 91. Don't quote it as the old. See it as the new. Christ in you. You in Him. Amen. Psalms 91. Would you read it out loud with me together today? We'll have different translations. We'll just follow along the best we can. Listen to what the Word of the Lord says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. Did you hear that? Hello? Stop. Pause. Whoa. Pestilence. Pestilence. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. How many believers we got in the house this morning? Is that just a cute little verse, or is that a promise you take for yourself? Come on, are you here? Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. This is what, these are the times that these verses, you didn't need these 6 months ago. Come on, people, there is provision. Are you here today? Neither shall there shall no evil, verse 10, befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels, somebody said it earlier, charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Come on, shout it out, somebody. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Woo! Come on, are you here this morning? That's good news. Now, there's one little tweak to this verse that changed when it became a new covenant promise. It's no longer that I've set my love on him, but he now, through the work of the Son, has set his love on me. Come on, would you lift up your hands all over the place? Aren't you glad for the work of Jesus? I love what Brother Womack says. He says, I'm his favorite kid. My picture's on his mantle. Come on, all over the room. Thank you, Lord. You've set your love on us. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And somebody said, finally, are you going to let us sit down? Amen. God bless you. All right. Well, how awesome. Man, you guys did a great job. We're going to do that every Sunday all the way up to the election. So if you don't like it, you'll have to come at around 10 till 11. I missed that part. Okay. Before I get started, why are we doing these kinds of things and being so open? Because I'm in charge and that's what I want to do. But other than that, in the months before the execution by the Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, I fear that Christians who stand with only one leg upon earth also stand with only one leg in heaven. His concern was for Christians who disengaged themselves from the world, who would stand by and watch atrocities committed, as if the Christian message or individual Christian responsibility had no bearing whatsoever upon earthly affairs. The fact of the matter is that the Christian faith intends full engagement in the world. Jesus called us to be salt and light. He's the one that said, if you'll pray, humble yourselves and pray. His promise is, I'll heal your land. He's interested in our nation. He's interested in your land. He's interested in your business and in your affairs. Think of the promises of God. I love Psalms. I haven't quoted in a while. Maybe we need to do it again this morning. Some of you can quote it with me. Psalms 1, 1 through 3, which says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, which brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither. What's that last phrase? And whatever he puts his hands to will prosper. Come on, are you here today? We're here to be salt and light. The Christian faith intends full engagement in the world. Certainly the origin of this new life is otherworldly. Certainly Christian values are not of this world. Certainly Christian hope takes us beyond this world. But it is in this world that God has called Christians to live. And it is the world's inhabitants that Christians must reach with the gospel. Engagement of this kind requires Christian credibility and participation in the life of the world. Do you have that video ready by chance? Can we go ahead and get that up on the screen? Don't hit the play button yet. Make sure our sound is on. Credibility especially depends on living as far as possible in a manner that the world considers to be respectable. Respectability was an important concept in Paul's day, but the values connected with it have always been subject to change. Therefore, the Christian life is first and always to be a clear expression of the will of God. The church's Respectability in the world was very much in Paul's mind as he addressed the various groups in the Cretan churches. This is evident from the patterns of behavior he encourages in Scripture, patterns that would have pleased any upright person in that day. It is equally evident in his affirmation of the social categories by which orderly community of civil life was defined. He divides the church accordingly to customary social categories, generations, sexes, slaves. He employs the household code form of teaching to emphasize that Christians must practice a renewed or reformed quality or behavior within those categories. This type of teaching encouraged participation in the social structure rather than the withdrawal from it. One of the things that bothers me right now a lot, and I don't care where you stand, it doesn't matter, on end time theology, eschatology. I am of the belief that most of what people are putting forward on our calendar has already happened. I believe that the Antichrist, the seven-year tribulation, and a lot of, I may lose a bunch of right here, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I do believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He is returning and will reign supreme. Heaven will touch down on planet Earth, and this Earth will see her redemption together with ours. And there will be a city. The measurements specifically are given. So don't worry, I haven't thrown all that out. But I believe that there's a lot of confusion trying to take what Jesus said must happen very soon. Some of you will still be here breathing when these things take place, and we've pushed them off 2,000 years ahead. And we've really, and you got all these prophecy gurus. None of them agree with each other. All of them selling you books. One of the most recent, Four Blood Moons, that man who I love isn't a great evangelist and pastor, but never has apologized for the millions he made off a book that went nowhere. And right on back, over and over and over again. But regardless of where you stand on end times, I believe, and I've said it before, what you believe about the future will determine the way you live today. And if you have a pessimist, gloomy, doomy future, it will affect the way you live. If you have an escapist, we're out of here anytime now, you're not going to be sowing seed, you're not going to be planning for the future. And if you're wrong, what will the world look like that your grandchildren will have to live in? This is not the time to lay down. It is the time to stand and fight in the Spirit. We don't know how much longer we've got, and you need to be careful that you don't buy into a lot of stuff. It frustrates me because I see a lot of Christians sitting on their hands, we're out of here anyway. We'll touch on that in just a minute. The church's respectability in the world was very much in Paul's mind as he addressed all these different groups. This type of teaching encouraged participation in social structure rather than withdrawal from it. Exemplary Christian behavior within the traditional relationships would help maintain or increase the church's credibility in the eyes of the world and promote the evangelistic mission. But Paul does not simply adopt secular rules of behavior. Whatever affinities this lifestyle might have with secular moral ideals, only faith in Christ can produce the Christian Reformed version. This is what Paul means by godly living, and godly living is what the Word of God, what the epistles, everything that Paul preached was all about. I said it last week and it shocked a few of you. He never spoke on hell one time. Did he believe it? Absolutely. But he never mentioned it because that's not the main point of the gospel. The main point of the gospel was freedom in Jesus. And living in such a way that people would want your Jesus. Amen. And that doesn't mean milk toast or doormat. Are you here this morning? Yeah. We're told to speak up. In love, but speak up. In love, but speak up. Stand up. How many are glad for Jesus today? Now, with that, one more thing. Well, there's several more things, if you know me by now. This is put out by the American Vision, Gary DeMar. On Monday, this is July 27th show, Rush Limbaugh said that Republicans may never win another election if they don't take a serious stand against rioting in America and what he calls a reality-denying corrupt string of lies from the Democratic Party. Everything the Democratic Party is saying is a demonstrable, provable, misleading lie. If you have a problem with that, you're asleep. And yet crickets from the Republican Party. They're not whipping us, we're whipping us. It's not only most Republicans who are missing in action, there are many Christians who are hoping to be missing in action and believe a vote for Joe Biden will help them be missing entirely from the onslaught of the evil to come. What do I mean? The following was sent to me by a longtime friend. I had a woman tell me today that it might work out better for Christians to vote for Biden because it would hasten Jesus' return and his second coming. You think this is funny? I've heard it already myself. The Christians would be taken out of this mess. You are correct about the dangers of premillennialism. After posting this article, a friend sent me the following. Gary DeMar just posted an article about Christians voting for Biden because they believe Trump is working against God's plans. Things are supposed to get worse in the last days, not better, they say. This is no exaggeration. I have friends, many of them, who believe this way. Now, these guys aren't going to actually vote for Biden since he is pro-choice. They're just not going to vote, period. They're just not going to vote, period. One friend actually used the words, Trump's intentions are good, but he's just postponing the rapture. That alone ought to tell you something's wrong with that eschatology. Ideas have consequences. Gary says, for 40 years I've been warning Christians about prophetic beliefs that immobilize Christians. No one knows how many Christians have dropped out of the culture war because they are convinced that we are living in the last days. I hear it constantly from everybody now. Radio, TV, it's the last days, it's the last days. I know what they mean. We might be. Who cares? What if we're not? You know, it was Roman Christians who stood in faith during the plague upon Rome and built towards a future that we now enjoy. This discredited belief system goes back a long time, but it's been ramped up again in the past 50 years. Consider the following. These are statements from major, and I'm not going to name their names this time. I want to, really bad. But these are great preachers, pastors, spokesmen. I don't like cliches, but I heard it said, God didn't send me to clean the fishbowl. He sent me to fish. In a way, there's a truth to that. I'll give you a hint. The late, great planet Earth. The church is not in the business of taking anything away from Satan, but the souls of men. The world is sinking, is a sinking Titanic, ripe for the judgment, not Garden of Eden perfection. That flies in the face of everything the Word of God says. This world is not getting, here's another one, this world is not getting any easier to live in. Most unbelievable hard times lie ahead. Indeed, Jesus said, that the coming days will be uniquely terrible. Nothing in all the previous history of the world can compare with what lies in store for mankind. Proverbs First off, Jesus was talking to a specific group of people, and here's what he told them. If you will get up and get out of Jerusalem, you're going to be okay. Josephus and others confirm, as far as we know, those who listened to what he had to say and got out, not one person who believed Messiah was killed. Here's another one. Reclaiming the culture is pointless, futile exercise. This is a big, big name in California, all over your TVs. I'm convincing we're living in a post-Christian society, a civilization that exists under God's judgment. I'm here to tell you that the judgment of God was fully exhausted in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus could proclaim, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Sin has consequences. But judgment for sin was fully dealt with in Jesus. When are these guys going to read their Bibles? The dispensational premillennial position sees no obligation to make distinctly Christian laws. What? Tom Sine offers a startling example of the effect prophetic inevitability. Blah, let me state over. I want to get this right. Prophetic inevitability. In other words, it's going to happen, so there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? Can have on some people. Quote, "Do you realize if we start feeding hungry people, things won't get worse? And if things don't get worse, Jesus won't come," interrupted a co-ed during a future inner term I recently conducted at Northwest Christian College. Her tone of voice and her serious expression revealed she was utterly sincere, and unfortunately I have discovered the co-ed's question doesn't reflect an isolated viewpoint. Rather, it betrays a widespread misunderstanding of biblical eschatology that seems to permeate much contemporary Christian consciousness. I believe this misunderstanding of God's intention for the human future is seriously undermining the effectiveness of the people of God in carrying out his mission in a world of need. The response of the student reflects what I call the great escape view of the future. So much of the popular prophetic literature has focused our attention morbidly on the dire and dreadful and destruction of all that is. I just would like to pose a question to you this morning. I've always been the glass is half full kind of guy. What if our prayers are being answered? What if there's a supernatural world reset? What if all this is being exposed for the right purpose because we prayed for it? What if the right things do come together and this world changes as globalist and evil, demonized men and women are exposed and brought down? I believe that we're told to not be weary in well-doing. We get weary and fall off the wagon. No telling what could happen, but let's stand and pray and believe God. Who said it has to go the other way? You have no clear picture of that in Scripture. There's just as not much, if not more, that Jesus is returning for a glorious, victorious church. Does that mean we're not going to go through some tough times? I don't know. America may not even be around. Who says that because we're American that we're going to avoid persecution? If this thing were to go the other way, you know what? The Word of God still works. He still is your provider. He still is your protector. He still is the one who will help you stay true. And listen, don't get upset about a varying end time view. It's amazing how people, don't take that from me. If you want to be negative, help yourself. There's enough negative out there already. I just think it's a great possibility that this could go another way. Is there anything wrong with that? Why are you afraid to answer? I think it's great. Will it matter? Well, in a lot of ways it will, but it shouldn't matter with "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well." I don't know if I sang it right in the beginning. "It is well with my soul." I've been inside Cuba. Underground church. Cuban guard out on the road. Everybody down in hiding. And watch people pack by the hundreds in a literal underground location as we worshiped and cried and watched university and high school students packing in there, receiving Jesus and watching as they shared with each other under great persecution, people being killed, services being discovered, good friends of mine being beat up, left for dead, pastors in little churches in central Cuba. I also know those that got a hold of the Spirit of God and found out about Psalms 91 being fulfilled in Jesus. And I watched as they were supernaturally protected over and over and over and over again to date. Are you here today? So America, rise or fall, it is well. But while we have time, let's fight for the greatest nation and cause ever to face our world. The first experiment of true freedom. Celebrating a freedom, you've heard me say it almost every Sunday, and I want to remind you so you stay centered. This freedom that this country celebrated and saw supernatural by God was not given by men. It was not dealt out as a favor. But they recognized certain inalienable God-given rights and said, "Let's go and flow with what He has done." There's been no other nation quite like her. Amen? You doing all right with that? Christianity. Are you an escapist? Are you planting seed for a future that's so bright, we got to wear shades? Hallelujah. With that thought in mind, you ready to roll that video? Roll this video. This will bless you. Just a little.
The light teachings of Jesus of Nazareth in the world.
That's awesome. So we've got a job to do. Hopefully you don't have a can't wait to get out of here attitude. They hate our God. That's why they hate this nation. And if you haven't figured it out yet, they hate you. I've heard the actual audio, seen the video of the big names, globalists. Their expressed hatred for Christians. There's a video put out by a Michael Matt, Remnant TV. This is a partial transcription from a video. You can find the video if they haven't taken it down. I think they already pulled it off his site. But he says why they really hate Trump. Now, this morning isn't promote Trump. I'm trying to get you to see what's... One more time, this is part of my job. So I said earlier, it's easy to be a critic. Pray for me. I'm trying to find this balance. Okay? Switzerland, Davos, World Economic Forum, January of 2020. Trump, this is why they really hate him. Trump committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. This is what he said. I'm committed. This is Trump saying, I'm committed to conserving the majesty of God's creation and the natural beauty of our world. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and gloom. Their predictions of the apocalypse, who always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy and wreck our country. That was in January. 2 days later, George Soros, that wicked, demonized creep. It's really hard for me to obey the Lord and to love my enemies and pray for those kind of people. I'm just being honest. Shoot me. You know, they say that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. Let's don't do it this morning. 2 days later, Soros made an emergency intervention at Davos, warning that the 2020 election will determine the fate of the whole world. 1 month later, Jeffrey Sachs says it is a dangerous country right now, and it will be absolutely dangerous if Trump wins re-election. Pope Francis invited Jeffrey Sachs to the Amazon Senate, Catholic Church, as an honored guest and advisor. By the way, he's also an advisor to Bernie Sanders. What is Jeffrey Sachs doing in the Vatican? Sachs is an out-and-out socialist, supports abortion among a bunch of other insidious things. But for Sachs, the Vatican, and the UN, Donald Trump is the problem. Why? Soros, I quote, "Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020. Are you awake? They hate him because he is not a globalist, but rather a capitalist. That's not a bad word. That's called free market. The socialists and communists like to talk about the greed of the imperialist pigs. The greedy capitalist. Have you ever been to a communist country?
I have.
You want to see the greediest people ever? You want to see all the wealth wrapped in a little teeny bit of the population, all those who rule? It's share and share alike until the money runs out, and then we'll live how we want to, and the rest of you will get what we deal. They hate him because he's not a globalist, and he never will be one of them, which is why he pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement. He pulled them out of the World Health Organization, Bill Gates and company. And now, threatening, still, to pull the U.S. out of the World Trade Organization. So yeah, Donald Trump got married twice. Says damn in hell once in a while. Nobody ever said he was a saint. Really? That's where you're hung? He's right in the face of the demons on this one, my friends. Nobody ever said he was a saint. The UN General Assembly votes 185 votes against the U.S. on almost every single issue in regards to the U.S. November 2019, right before COVID landed, Trump went to the UN and declared war on globalism. And this is what he said. Again, I quote Trump, "Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first." The future does not belong, he said, to the globalist. The future belongs to patriots. Shortly after, coronavirus was unleashed on the world. Weeks. And Trump's booming economy went on life supply. Do you really believe at this point that that was an accident? So when they tell you to stay home, wear your masks, so grandma won't get sick, please understand what's really going on here. They don't care about your grandmother. They don't care about old people or babies. They want them aborted to save the common whole. They abort millions of them. You want to save your grandma, tell the globalists to stay the heck away from your grandma. Cuomo running COVID recovery patients through the nursing homes. That's how much they care about your grandma. An veiled threat to President Trump. If you don't get us ventilators, they will die. And the look on President Trump's face when he responded, "I've been told this will happen, so get them ventilators or they will die." Read the import. The name of the game is to bring the U.S. economy to its knees, get it out of the way so that everyone will want the great reset. This is a reset in financial power. Governing power, a centralized power. They want to make the new normal so intolerably abnormal that you and I maybe will be begging for the vaccine and begging for whatever else is going to keep us safe by our jailers, our handlers, our zookeepers. And he goes on. You got the point. He goes on to say, people, wake up. Go to church. Stay together. Exercise your freedoms with boldness. And for God's sake, whether you like him or not, recognize he's the only thing that stands in the way of globalists who are giddy with the near possibility that they can now do what they've dreamed of for years. What Chad said is true. Pray for the man. God has him in there for a purpose. We doing all right? I know I'm reading a lot. Now, balance in the few minutes I have left. Let's switch gears. So, if I were to take the last couple of months since we've been back in church and going to stay that way, by the way, I would sum up and we'll touch, we'll review this again this next Sunday because we're already, I see it's already 11:30. You remember we talked about Jesus saying, watch and pray. I see the picture of Gideon. God saying, nope, that's too many. Nope, that's too many. Gideon's going, oh my God. Finally he says, here's what I want you to do. Send these soldiers to the brook for a drink. Those that lap like a dog, but those that cup it in their hands, who are watching while they drink, choose them. 300, a little minuscule group of men, who through the power of God overcame insurmountable odds and conquered the enemies of Israel. Jesus said that if any two of you should agree. How many love Jesus this morning? Watch. Pray. Prayer isn't what many people think it is. James chapter 5 says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he speaks of one, Elijah. Who we find in 1 Kings 17, his prayer is not, oh Lord, we beseech thee. We come before you today begging you, oh God. And in the Old Testament, shoulders squared, eyes wide open. I'm telling you, it will not rain for 3.5 years. God spoke it, therefore I speak it. Boom! In 3.5 years, it did not rain. God called that fervent prayer. Shoulders squared, eyes wide open. God said it, therefore I say it. Can you stand in your bathroom tomorrow morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, God said it, therefore I said it. You can't have this nation, devil. Evil will be exposed for such a time as this. I see Psalms 91 all over the White House. Open your mouth. That's prayer. Jesus talked about speaking to a mountain. Mark 11:23. If you will speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart the things that you say, you will have whatever you... Jesus said that, not Kenneth Hagin, Jesus. And then he said, and when you stand praying, he called that prayer. Study. Second Peter 3:5 talks about those who were willingly ignorant. They denied creation and the flood and right on down the line. Just like the fools who serve the God of scientism in this age, willfully ignorant, knowing the truth. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 or 21 says that every man suppresses the truth of God in them in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God has been revealed in all men. That's why now, with Jesus here, you don't have to tell them how wicked and evil they are. They know it already. They need to know that Jesus loves them. Man, before I got into the grace message, I felt like it was my job to go around and help, you know, be a Holy Spirit cop. Don't cuss around me. Don't drink around me. Don't do this around me. And if somebody did cuss and said they were Christian, that was my obligation to straighten them out. Well, there's a place for loving correction. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But that's a whole different attitude. That's a whole different attitude, because who do I think I am? They don't need your judgment. They already know. They need you to love them and believe in them and pray for them. And somebody who you develop a relationship, you gain their trust, then you help each other. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if you see a man overtaken in a fault, go to such a one in the spirit. You who are spiritual, go to such a one in the spirit of meekness. Knowing you yourself can be tempted in the same way. My paraphrase. Study. Prepare. I think it's wise to prepare. What if we do have a massive economic shift? Follow the Lord. Pay attention. Be prepared. What if there already is massive interruption to the supply chain? Everything I've ordered is delayed and may not be here till whenever. We're seeing the backside of it. Could it get worse? It could get really... We don't know. Are you prepared? Are you prepared mentally? But Pastor Lee, we're in church. It should be spiritually. No. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your spirits. No, your minds. That you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Are you ready up here? Are you prepared? Are you prepared in here? Well, thank God, through His Son Jesus, most of what's in here is doing pretty good. I shouldn't say most, all. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, John. Old things have passed away, the new me. All things have become new. And the next verse says, and all those things in there are of Him. All. Can you say all?
All.
So the rest of my life, it's letting the new me work outwardly. It's what Paul says in Philippians. Work out your salvation with much awe. Prepare. And then after that, rest. Now here's the trick. We all fall prey to it. I think it's normal, it's natural, it's human. In the process of processing all of this, all of us experience good days and bad days. As fear increases, or we hear something that really hits us broadside, and our response of anger or frustration, it's all normal. Don't let the devil beat you up. But know how and when you must rein that in. You doing okay? You know what that means? I need another half hour. It's an article written by an Alan Schliemann, young guy. A ministry called Stand to Reason. He said, I'm going to tell you something, explain what you're likely feeling about this turbulent year. No doubt you've witnessed a series of tragic events unfold before your eyes. You've also probably felt an inordinate pressure to say the right thing about each of them. Like you, I've been hesitant to comment for fear I'll be blasted by someone who sees things differently. It's been frustrating and fatiguing, to say the least, and I believe this short comment by a Texas pastor explains the reason why we feel this way. Here's what he wrote. Could it be that God didn't wire us to carry every event taking place in every part of the world at every moment as if it were ours? Could it be that technology has produced a faux omniscience and omnipresence that is hurting mankind and not helping it? This is an important assessment. Through the internet and social media, technology has given us ringside seats to every single event, tragedy, and evil act that happens in any part of the planet. That's not something we were created to handle. People, I'm going to provide a balance. The front of this service, watch and pray. Study and know. Prepare. But having done these things, it's time to rest. Resting is the greatest warfare that you will experience. Let me back up and say this way. So I'm pointing to you. Resting, you notice I got one at you and three at me. Resting over the next couple months, probably longer, because either way this goes in November, all hell could break loose. But it'd probably be wise to prepare for a little more than just a couple of months. And it's not too late. Up until the last fraction of human existence, we've only had to carry events that directly affect us, our family, friends, our local community. Today, with internet, social media, we can witness every evil event. If we miss it, a recording is readily replayed online. The carnage is funneled through our eyes and embedded in our souls. What we witness can be in the next town, the next state, or in the other side of the planet. No matter where it happens, we see it. It's like we are everywhere. But it's a faux omnipresence. We're not actually there, but we're made to experience these events like we were. We soak them in and feel the pain that others feel, albeit to a lesser degree. We scroll through our news feed and witness another tragedy, then another. In a matter of minutes, we've watched multiple evil events. It's overwhelming. God, who is omnipresent, can handle all that evil, pain, and tragedy. He's capable. He has the emotional and psychological bandwidth to witness his creation, repeatedly commit evil, and not become overwhelmed. Finite humans, though, don't have this capability. The foe omnipresence hurts us. Yes, yes, yes. Stress. Careful. As you prepare and study, a warning. Don't let that become your new form of worship. Don't stop. Stay awake. Watch and pray. Water. Drink deep, but watch. But a warning to me first and to the rest of us. You love Jesus this morning? You love Pastor Lee? We doing all right? So a faux omnipresence leads to a faux omniscience. And we think we're present at these tragedies. So we're tricked into thinking we understand what happened. We saw it online. After all, it was in high definition. Because we witnessed these events, we're expected to know the truth about what happened. Make an immediate evaluation, and then they say the right thing about it. Finite humans. The whole George Floyd thing, if you've seen what actually happened in the video that was taken away, it'd blow your mind that the world's been turned upside down by a bunch of lies. I'm up to here. I'm working on a bumper sticker along with somebody else that says this. Wake up, Americans. Take the mask off. Save the children. And what's the last? I can't remember. It just blew my mind. The most important one. It'll come to me in a minute. I mean, it just goes right down the, cuts right down the middle. I want to incite a rebellion, a Holy Ghost rebellion. Come on, people. Are you kidding me? Good old boys in jeans and boots just going along like sheep. Even still, we comment, post, and emote, and we argue, and then divide. Demonic oppression to divide us. Don't let this divide you. Even still, we comment. Let me back up. There's more, though. Rather, move forward. There's more, though. Another horrific event is around the corner. Repeat the cycle, and the stress builds. The fall of omniscience hurts us as well. I appreciate Charles Spurgeon's similar concern when he addressed pastors in training, recognizing their potential to take on overwhelming burdens. He warned them of making this mistake. He said, many servants of God are made to feel their weakness in another way, by an oppressive sense of responsibility. They do not take an exaggerated view. He says, do not take an exaggerated view of what the Lord expects of you. He will not blame you for not doing that which is beyond your mental power or physical strength. We are not the Father. You've heard me say right up here, I'm not your Jesus. You are not the Father, nor the Savior, nor the comfort of the church. We cannot take the responsibility of the universe upon our shoulders. There's only so much one person can take, says Spurgeon. Plus, to presume you can handle the world's hurt is to take on an exaggerated view of yourself. God is the only one capable of carrying that weight. Though online technologies can hurt us, I'm not a Luddite. I don't doubt that scientific advancements have helped us communicate, protect people, care for vulnerable people, and do many other good things. And don't let all of this suddenly cause you to hate. Christianity was behind all this technology. While you're worried about global control, remember, flip side of that is that the Gideons have a full Bible and most of the languages of the world, all over the world now, in a little app. The most oppressive regimes are making phones available. Typical globalist move. Just like in communist Cuba, everybody, they couldn't hardly eat on food rations, but they all had a military TV in their home. Propaganda. Thank you. That's the most important one. So the bumper sticker goes like this. We're going back a second. Wake up, Americans, take off the mask, save the children, and all lives matter, period. Yeah. What are we doing? I'm putting mine on a magnet. So when I go to Phoenix and go in a store somewhere, I have a pickup left when I come back out. Progress, though, often comes with a price. Though Inherit the Wind is a disastrous retelling of the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1925, I resonate with one of our Henry Drummond speeches in the movie. Progress has never been a bargain. You have to pay for it. Sometimes I think there's a man who sits behind a counter and says, all right, you can have a telephone, but you lose privacy and the charm of distance. Can you imagine that? That long ago. Madam, you may vote, but at a price. You lose the right to retreat behind the powder puff of your petticoat. Mister, you may conquer the air, but the birds will lose their wonder and the clouds will smell of gasoline. It's hard to imagine the wonder of flight that birds effortlessly enjoy. Why? We've all grown up in a world with planes. We sip sodas on leather seats 38,000 feet in the air while cities zip by at 600 miles per hour. A flying bird is no big deal. We fly faster and higher. We've lost our wonder. Technology that makes the internet and social media possible might move us forward in some ways, but we pay for it in other ways. We experience a faux omnipresence and a faux omniscience causing us to carry all the hurts of the world. Could it be that God didn't wire us to carry every event as if it were ours? Naysayers might object, we need to know what's happening around the world to stay abreast of current affairs. We must learn from our collective experience. While I agree it's important to learn from the tragic events that occur outside of our immediate community, we can become overwhelmed by the barrage of negative news. We're not created to soak in every tragedy as if it were ours. Progress, like Drummond says, has never been a bargain. You have to pay for it. It takes a toll on your souls. Perhaps then we should take better care of ourselves. Here's what I suggest. First, unplug from the internet and social media. Take a day. I had to do it this last week. Go breathe. Man, we are so blessed here in Arizona. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on planet Earth. Beautiful everything. We need rain. But even when it's dry, it's wonderful. We need rain. Ask Brent. They're hauling water, and I know. Your family, everybody in the cow business. Perhaps we should take better care of ourselves. Here's what I suggest. First, unplug from the internet or social media. This is mandatory. Set up times when you walk away without taking sneak peeks. Second, spend time in nature. Well, you got no better place to do that than here. For example, take a hike through the woods. Observe the simplicity and the beauty of God's creation. I love to notice the delicate flowers, on and on he goes on. It helps me escape for time, the harsh reality I must eventually return to. Third, pray and discern when and where you can shoulder other people's burdens and find friends who can help carry yours. This is a biblical mandate. You know that the same chapter that I referenced, Galatians 6, says this. Bear one another's burdens. And in so doing, you fulfill a new law called the law of Christ. Then he seems to contradict himself just a couple of verses later when he says, let every man carry his own burden. He's speaking of attitude. I don't expect you to carry mine, Kyle. But I believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. If I'll not worry about my needs, and in the process, lift someone else. Here's what the Word of God says about mercy, not money. Luke 6:38. We've heard people get beat over the head for years during offering services. Given it shall be given. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over with good measure. Do I have that one flipped? Shall men give? That's not money. He's talking about mercy. Mercy. When I give, I receive. Now, will that principle work with money? The whole kingdom does. But he's talking about mercy. This is a biblical mandate. Finally, develop a habit of giving thanks to Jesus, the one who took our burdens. Without him, we'd be in bigger trouble, hurting even more. He encouraged us to come to him. Promises, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we close, way out of time. Have you enjoyed this morning? I hope you have. I have. Parting shot, Matthew chapter 6. There's a whole lot more I wanted to touch on, but we got next week. Matthew chapter 6. There's a couple of scriptures for you Bible students and those who want to learn scripture. Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given unto you. Press down. Got it? Matthew 6:33. Real similar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. So here's where we're going. So Matthew chapter 6. In the light of all this, Philippians 4:8, Paul says, We'll go there in a second. Matthew 6. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, notice if you got a red letter Bible, Jesus is talking, so heads up. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Who's your source, people, as we go into all this stuff? Which of you by taking thought? What he means by that is, which of you by worrying? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Which of you can add an inch to your height by worrying? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like as one of these. Where if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Come on, people, I want to encourage you today. There's nothing wrong with what, we should watch and pray. Are you here? We should study. We should know. Are you here? We should prepare. But then there is a place, okay, we're in fourth gear now, sit back, hit cruise, and rest. Because it's not me going to get this done. Here's what the Spirit of God would say, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need of, all these things. 33, let's read it together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn to your neighbor and say, one way or another, provision, health, protection. Come on, some of you aren't cooperating. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say to him, let's say it. Let's say it together. Say, one way or another,
one way or another,
God's bringing to me protection, health,
protection,
blessing.
Health, blessing.
How do you seek the kingdom of God first? Acknowledge him in all your ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge your need before him. And acknowledge that he is the answer to your need. Acknowledge the writer of Philippians, Paul, who says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. I'd say that's a pretty good bank system. 34, take no therefore no thought for tomorrow. The morrow shall take thought. I've watched in all of our preparation, and I've heard it, and I've sensed it in myself for the first time ever. This has never been an issue with me. Ever. And I've noticed the last couple of weeks, this thing that I've never ever dealt with. What's the future? What are we? And I thought, You've never thought like that before. What do you mean? When did that start? Go lay down. All over the room, people. Come on, would you? Lift your hands all over wherever you're sitting. Jesus, thank you. I have the mind of Christ. You've been made unto me wisdom. Oh, man, think about it. Wisdom. Righteousness, holiness, redemption. Whew. Cast all your cares upon him this morning, for the greater one cares for you. And he cares for your babies and your grandbabies, your family, your church family. Don't get caught in the murmur, because you'll turn on each other. Come on, I'm here to tell you, don't get caught in the murmur, because you'll turn on each other. That's the ploy. Stop it and rest. There is a rest for the weary, Hebrews 4 says. A place when hope gives way to faith, and faith gives way to now it's God's turn. It's not a perfect saying, but it gets the point across. When I work, he rests. When I rest, he works. Say with me, Philippians 2:13, God is working in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you been blessed this morning? Man, I blessed my own socks off today. I hope you have been too. And encouraged. I hope that you'll take a day. Maybe you need to take a couple. And just unplug. Nothing's gonna... Just unplug. Now, some of you might be on the other end of the spectrum. You've had your head in the sand. You don't know any of this is going on. You need to prepare. You need to study. You need to know some things. See the balance? But most of us need to... Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Sally, go ahead.
I have a word for Lee, and some Lord has instructed me to pray a certain way for him. If you need to go, please feel free. I don't want to hold you up, but I'm going to ask Becca and Bruce, will you come up? And Mike, will you come up, please? And Bob Reed, would you come, please? I'm going to read this because it's been coming in little bits and pieces, and I didn't want to get it messed up. But I saw a mantle in the spirit realm that has settled on Lee. And it's the mantle that rested on your father as he stood and said, "No, I did not come here to preach underground." That mantle has settled on you. And then I saw a path. It was like a cattle trail first. And you were walking, and dust began to puff up and cover your feet. And then I saw the path widen, but it was strewn with pebbles, sharp rocks, and shards of glass. Yet you boldly walked on. Your feet were toughened like leather, and the balm of Gilead began to flow over them like oil. This is a small town. You know you're called here. And it is a small spot on this earth, as was Honduras, Guatemala. Mm-hmm. But the mantle and the anointing that was on Tom for that season is now here on you for this season. And in closing, I saw Jesus' feet walking with yours.
Would you,
gentlemen, play? Just...
Father God, we thank you that we have been called for such a time as this. Lord, it's easy to be a warrior when there's no battle. But when there is a battle and the storm rages against us, Lord, we thank you that you strengthen us, that you quicken us, Father God, that your spirit rests upon us, that there is peace no matter what happens around us. No matter what things look like in the natural, we thank you, Father God, that we are called to supernatural. Lord, I thank you for Pastor, or Dad, as we call him, for who he is day in and day out. But that doesn't change when he leaves here on a Sunday. I speak grace and peace over him, over his family. This is a time where attack can come from any angle, but it doesn't matter. Those arrows fall short. The blood of Jesus is more powerful. But we thank you for that renewing of the mind, because it can get tedious day in and day out to be standing in the gap, not only fighting your own battles, but others as well. So Lord, I thank you for that renewing of the mind, for that peace, that calm upon you, Lee. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you that we are constantly reminded to keep you utmost in our thoughts, to seek you out first. And as we seek you out, Lord, and crawl up into your lap and rest, we labor to enter into that rest. We have to keep our minds focused on it. It's not just going to come. It's not going to come by what we do. So thank you, Father, for that reminder. Thank you, Father, for that reminder that comes through Pastor Lee, through Chad, through the family of this church. Thank you for all those things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peace, Pastor. Peace, peace, peace.
Yes.
Joy. And our confidence sometimes gets all wrapped up in who we are and what we think we are. But you know what? God is good. Yes, he is. And he's not good just sometimes. He's good all the time. And pure and simple. Wisdom is yours. Grace is yours. You and I have got grace.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. And you've been a big part of that for me, just so you know. Okay? I pray peace, wisdom, guidance, protection over our pastor. I just pray, God, keep your mighty hand not only on him, but keep him in your hand. And Lord, as a church, I pray that we can follow and be where we need to be as a church. Amen.
We free to go here, Pastor? I think as we stand, I just want to say as we go, thank you. And how about you? Not just Pastor Lee or anybody, but how about you, Father, for such a time as this, for Chino Valley Family Church, amen? And the place for each individual. He has a place for each individual, right? Do you agree with that? Lord, we thank you for purpose in each individual in the body, in the marketplace, with our families. We thank you for that, God. All right, amen. God uses leadership and stuff to build us all up in his purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. What a great